Okay, welcome to Shit Talking with Joe and Cheryl, a cinema podcast. We're in Cheryl's car in Buffalo, and we're going to drive across Buffalo while we talk about The Great Gatsby, which we just saw a matinee. And how we do this is we see the movie, we don't talk about it until the tape gets rolling, and so we're literally just walking out of the theater. As I am driving and hopefully not running over anyone's mistresses, maybe you can get the ball rolling, Cheryl.
Okay. Well, I recently reread The Great Gatsby. I read it for the first time, I think, in high school. And then I read it again in this lit class in grad school that was pretty interesting. It was with Chinese students, and we read Chinese novels and American novels, and kind of try to do some cultural readings of the books of classics. And then I read it again most recently, like a few weeks ago. And I didn't even know that this movie was coming out. It was just kind of this random urge I had to reread it. So anyway, the story was still really fresh in my mind watching it today. And I did my best to avoid reviews so that I could come in as fresh as possible. Although I knew I was somewhat familiar with Baz Luhrmann's other movies. I think I saw Romeo and Juliet. I didn't see Moulin Rouge, but it was pretty much what I expected from him, style-wise. You know, like really playing up the spectacle aspect of this story and the time period, you know, the roaring 20s, and everyone's flush with money and it makes them stupid. And I think that's kind of his jam. Maybe that's why he was chosen. Which is really interesting to me because the novel is a very, like, understated, subtle book. You know, at least when I reread it this most recent time. You know, it's about this, like, enduring love. It's about longing. And, you know, he writes these beautiful, like, purple sentences, you know? So it's interesting that they chose Luhrmann as the director, who's so over the top, and he's, like, into musicals and camp, you know, and costumes and like, all of the artifice of performance. So I'm still kind of, like, knocking this around in my head, like, how I'm ingesting it as a movie. I think probably the first impulse that most people would have is to compare it to the book to see how closely it hews to it. You know, like, people will probably first talk about the fidelity to the book.
Right. And that's why I'm here, because I read the book in high school, and I don't really remember any of it, other than Gatsby is a rich guy who gets shot.
You don't remember,
and it's a love,
like,
story.
The plot very well?
No, no way. I don't remember the plot at all. And I remember it being one of those books that people had to convince me that it was a good book. Like, of all the books we read...
Really?
Yeah, of all the books we read, I was just like, I don't, you know, like, this is okay, and I like my English teacher, so I'm not gonna, like, you know, I'm not gonna hate it, but I remember it not making any, like, hardly any impression on me in terms of the things we read in high school. So when I saw this movie, none of those literary associations were knocking around in my head. And I'd never seen any of Baz Luhrmann's work. So I feel like I can look at this.
You didn't see Romeo and Juliet?
No, I did not see Romeo and Juliet. I wasn't really watching that many of, like, big Hollywood movies when that came out. So what did you think in regard to...
Okay, don't hit these people.
Okay, well, they need to not walk in the middle of the road.
I know. Okay.
So there's this impulse to compare it against the book. And so what did you come up with in regard to that?
Well, I, like, consciously and unconsciously every step of the way thought to myself, did this happen in the book this way? Did this happen in the book this way? And I didn't see any glaring, like, omissions or, you know, it didn't seem to deviate too wildly from what happened in the book. But, I mean, that's not the only way to consider it, you know? Like... I want to also just think about it as a movie, you know, unto itself. Mm-hmm. Say, like, you had never read the book, or, like, Joe, it had been a long time. So does it still operate as a good, like, successful movie?
Yeah. Well, I would say, yeah. I mean, I think I'm happy I didn't read the book because, you know, I think it operates as a successful movie in how it embraces spectacle. Because if, as you're saying, Great Gatsby is this sort of interior novel, and it's a subtle novel, mm-hmm. That's really hard to communicate in a blockbuster picture. And the results are often these movies where people are silent and giving each other meaningful glances, or, you know, like you're supposed to read into it.
I mean, it's interesting because you can take it, like, to two very different extremes, you know, like the Baz Luhrmann spectacle mm-hmm. way. Or I think, like, they made a version in the 60s, right? With Mia Farrow and Robert Redford. I think Scorsese directed it.
Really?
Or either him or Francis Ford Coppola. So that might have been more of, like, you know, an interior kind of movie. I mean, it didn't have Jay-Z, I'm sure.
Jay-Z did not executive produce it.
I know.
But he did executive.
Isn't it funny? Like, I think that's his deal, is Baz Luhrmann takes things, like, that are very rooted in a certain time and then injects contemporary elements. Because he did that with Romeo and Juliet, too.
Yeah.
He, like, took Shakespeare and, like, decided to add whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense that he took on this project for a lot of reasons. I mean, for one of them is that in the movie, he sees the Great Gatsby as a great showman. He puts on a great party.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you know where you're going?
Yeah. Okay. And you know who else puts on a great party? Jay-Z puts on a great party.
Yeah, you know, I kept doing this thing where I was thinking, like, maybe that's our project with the Great Gatsby in 2013, is, like, you don't have to try too hard to show its relevance. Like, it's still the American story.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know.
Well, I think I would like to hear more about that. I mean, but let me. My thought about Baz Luhrmann is that it's an American story, but it's also a Hollywood story. Like, I think Hollywood, like, why pick an American classic? Why didn't they do a separate piece? Why don't they do The Grapes of Wrath or something like that, right?
And I think those have been made into movies, but
right,
there's
but why,
it's a different kind of appeal.
Right.
You know,
but so why this one? Why a summer blockbuster? And the answer is this. Hollywood likes making movies about showmen and spectacles. And they're obsessed with these movies that are kind of about creating your own fiction. And
yeah.
I'm sure that's why they created this movie, and why in the movie Gatsby is pretty much the unequivocal hero of the movie, right? He's portrayed in a very positive light.
See, which is, like, the book doesn't exactly do that. You know, I mean, you could probably read the book 10 more times and have 10 more readings of Gatsby as a character, because he's portrayed pretty sympathetically in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
We actually kind of feel sorry. Like, I think we feel pity for him.
Why? Oh, in the movie?
Yeah, in the movie.
That?
And I guess in the book. Well, because he's pathetic. Like, he is this character who is in one way admirable in that he created a life for himself out of nothing, mm-hmm. which is the American dream.
Right.
And he did it in the most visible way possible, which is through material wealth, mm-hmm. you know? And that perfectly encapsulates that time period, you know? And he did it, like, in these shady means, like, as a bootlegger. Which, like, in our own weird way, we still admire.
Sure. I mean, if you consider, you know, I think that's why you have the Jay-Z soundtrack and those sort of parallels. Like, he's a gangster, right?
Yeah,
like, he's the gangster with the heart of gold who doesn't really hurt anybody in being a gangster.
Right.
And is just trying to live the American dream.
Yeah, but he's...
And invent his own present and future.
Exactly, yeah. But he's pathetic because he has zero self-awareness. Like, he's obsessed with this woman. He does everything for this woman. Mm-hmm. And he has these gigantic blinders on mm-hmm. and doesn't realize she's so entrenched in her life mm-hmm. of, like, being this ditzy beauty queen
mm-hmm.
that that there was probably no chance that she was going to leave that life for him. Mm-hmm. You know, but he was so in love with his own longing. You know, he was so, like, enamored with his own obsession that he couldn't see outside of it, and it ceased to be about Daisy or anybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah, and to me, that's perfect.
Which makes him pathetic.
Well, right? Yeah, but which also makes, it makes him, quote-unquote, pathetic, but it also makes him, like, it's not... It's,
I guess human.
It's... Yeah, it's human in the way that blockbuster movie characters are supposed to be human. He dreamed the impossible dream. You know,
I know, but he's
it's
not...
perfect grist for a Hollywood
movie.
You
but
know?
What I like about the book so much, and I guess also about the movie, is that
Are we talking about... Okay,
he's no hero.
Right.
We're talking about both, I guess.
Okay. Well, I can't read the book.
We can make distinctions.
Okay. Zero things to say about the book.
Yeah. Well, I really like the book. I'm just a big fan of Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, because he's just, like, a stylist.
I don't know if I don't think I've read enough Fitzgerald, although I kind of think I would... I kind of think that I would like Baz Luhrmann's movie better than the book.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, I know your tastes.
Yeah.
You like over the top.
I like over the top. And when something is a confection, I like it to be a confection. And to me, the movie's ridiculous. Like... There are parts in the movie where passages from the book, like, get typed onto the screen.
I know.
At like, the most significant and meaningful parts of the movie.
I know. I cringed at first, but then I was like, I'm just going to go
right.
with it.
Right. It's just so stupid.
Well, you know, this is what I was thinking when I was watching. What Luhrmann does is he makes everything tacky.
Yeah,
but
right.
we go into it, like, knowing that, and then we enjoy the ride. Because he did right. that with Romeo and Juliet, you know... Which is, like, you know, a masterpiece, and he made it tacky, mm-hmm. but, like, not necessarily bad tacky, I guess.
Oh, probably bad tacky. Probably, like, pretty bad tacky. I mean, tacky always has a sense of the bad in it, right? Like, that's what makes kitsch kitsch,
yeah,
is that it's
yeah.
bad.
But it's, like, highly enjoyable.
Right, because it knows it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I would say I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, but it's mostly because I love the book.
Uh-huh. Does the movie have anything important to say? Or is it just kind of like a disposable, like, it's a love story, you know, it engages our hopes as like, climbing, you know, making, you know, self-creating Americans.
Yeah.
Right? Like, does it have anything to say? Is there any subtext?
I think it does. I mean, I don't think it's subtext. I think it's just text.
Yeah, that's true. It's text.
I mean,
it's literally text.
The message is, like,
message, it's written out loud.
I know. It's very clear. Mm-hmm. It's, like, pretty simplistic.
What is it? What's the movie saying? What's Baz Luhrmann's message to America?
It's a bunch of things. Well, here again, I'm conflating the movie with the book. But, like, I would say... It's that the American dream is a myth. It's...
But, okay, so here's the thing, though. Is it a good or a bad myth? In either the book or the movie.
Well, I think usually when people call things a myth, you know, there's kind of like a negative connotation to that. Mm-hmm. Because we're believing in something that's not true.
Yeah.
But I think, like, in the case of, like, the American dream being a myth, it's actually okay. Like,
in the book or the movie?
In the world, like in society, like the American...
Well, we're not reviewing society, though.
No, but what I'm trying to... Okay, you're asking me what the messages of the movie
are. No, but yeah, but I'm saying, does the movie say that this is a good or a bad myth?
Oh, like in the universe of only the movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, because... Oh, but you're saying the American myth is a good myth.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're talking on a few different levels here.
All right.
I think Luhrmann is saying no, it's not a good thing, because ultimately the movie's a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Gatsby dies and no one goes to his funeral, and mm-hmm. Carraway is really upset about that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we don't leave the movie with a happy ending.
Yeah.
It's like Romeo and Juliet, it's a tragedy.
Yeah.
So I think, like, we walk away thinking, so this is what it amounts to. You mm-hmm. know, people strive and strive and strive. Mm-hmm. And they're left with nothing. It's kind of this... It's pretty cynical,
but,
I guess.
You know, I kind of feel the other way. I kind of feel like Baz Luhrmann is all for the American dream of, like, building up yourself an empire of effort and striving. to live like this lyrical moment, even if it's a massively tacky lyrical moment, even if there's a hangover or a death afterwards, you know? Because I don't know. I mean, these movies are so tacky, and what's great about them is the spectacle and, you know, the characters against these panoplies of flowers and things like that. That when he died, I was like, that sucks he died, but I don't really care. That doesn't really make me that sad. You know, like,
yeah, in the book I was sad. In
right.
The movie, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like the trajectory, like it's like Scarface, you know?
I didn't see Scarface.
So in Scarface.
No, let's not talk about Scarface.
No, let me talk about Scarface just really quickly. I mean, Scarface is the quintessential gangster movie, and it's a little grittier because he saws people up with a chainsaw.
So it's
and
a
stuff.
Lot grittier.
Yeah, it's a lot grittier. But I mean, but in the end, it's about this guy like creating his empire, right? And
is he
living,
murdered at
living
the
American dream, and he goes out. Yeah, and in the end, he goes out in a blaze of glory, right? Because he never has any crisis of consciousness because he believes in his position and the rightness of his striving. And in Gatsby, there is no crisis of consciousness. Nick Carraway lives it out for him, but Nick is, you know, he's kind of off to the side. So,
yeah, I mean, Gatsby himself doesn't suffer that absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, his life is too short for him to really see all the suffering through.
And even though Scarface and Gatsby die in the end, like, there's no sense that, like, it could have been any other way. Or that there's any other sort of alternative, right? Like,
yeah, but see, I think that's a testament to Fitzgerald's good writing. Mm-hmm. If you can write a story that seems inevitable,
right?
Which, you know, Lerman is just creating something from that.
But that's the, you know, but I think that's it. It's like, because it's, we say tragedies are that which could not have been prevented, like a lot of times, right? It's a tragedy. A hurricane hit, it's a tragedy. And so this movie, when it's something seems like a tragedy, that I think that it draws on the element that, like, this is how human nature works. This is the trajectory of human effort, that we strive really hard.
So it's just simply, like, pointing out a truth that's sad.
Yeah, right. I mean, and that's why I think he celebrates the American myth as...
Yeah, you know, I think he does both. Because it's lamentable.
It
you know,
is,
but
on paper, yeah.
But at least, like, Gatsby was a king for a while.
Right.
You know, so in that way, I guess it's romantic.
Yeah.
It's like a romantic tragedy.
Right, and that's how I think how it fits, like, where what happened to, like, hip-hop and gangster rap. Like,
yeah, you
it
know,
became, like, about, like, parties
it was
champagne.
Actually, like, a really good stylistic decision to have, like, Jay-Z, Beyonce, and these people on the soundtrack and in the movie.
Yeah.
It made sense.
Yeah. It
Wait, are we going to talk while we walk?
Yeah, let's walk and talk.
Okay.
Do you want to walk and talk?
Okay.
Yeah, we're at our destination. We can walk and talk. Hopefully the wind won't be too bad. Sorry, listeners, if the wind is too bad. Yeah, I have the keys.
What else?
So
that was one, I think,
message
or theme of the movie.
Yeah. What about, so other messages. What is it saying about class and race? What is it saying about terrorism, and the war on terror?
We've been talking
about the war on terror a lot.
I'm glad that we stepped a little bit away from
the war on terror,
espionage and CIA movies.
Yeah. Class. Maybe class. We'll talk about class.
Yeah. Well, it says some pretty overt things about class.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this woman from the other side of the tracks gets killed, and the murderer gets away with it.
Right. And the murderer is Daisy.
Yeah, and the murderer is Daisy.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a populist. I think that's why the people love The Great Gatsby. It's kind of populist in certain ways.
Yeah, what's interesting also is that, like, that line is, like, one of the most famous lines of the movie. Like, Daisy and Tom are these careless people, and they go around
and they
smashing everything.
Right.
But what's funny is, like, that's, like, Fitzgerald and his wife Zelda, you know, and the people that they ran with. I think he was saying something pointed about his peers.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, this is, like, a reckless age. And, I mean, really, the story is only as tragic as whatever sadness we feel for very rich white people.
Yeah. Not much in this movie. Yeah.
I mean, they're so disgustingly rich that they will go rent a room in the plaza for an afternoon when they have two mansions between the two of them to hang out with.
Right.
Or to hang out at, you know?
Yeah. I think there's this scene in Gatsby where he's taking what's-her-face, Daisy, through his house. And it reminded me of an episode of, like, MTV Cribs.
Yeah.
Where he's like, look at all my stuff. Look at all my shirts.
I know.
Look at my piano room.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it's like a celebration. I mean, I think Baz Luhrmann's not like, look at how decadent this is. It's like, look at how decadent this is. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, like, for me, it was tinged, like, all of that kind of show-offiness mm-hmm. was, like, tinged with this, like, judgment from Nick Carraway.
You know? I didn't feel that at all.
Really?
I mean, I think at least in the movie, Nick Carraway is kind of a cipher, right? So
yeah, he's the stand-in for us.
You share his gaze.
Yeah, for the reader.
But I think in lots of ways, the movie celebrates, like, Gatsby's striving, you know?
Yeah, I also think it's the kind of story that changes with each era that it's read in. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think we would have a different reading in the 70s, mm-hmm. in the 80s, and now, post-recession.
Yeah, but of the movie or of the book?
The basic story.
Well, yeah, but every era, I mean, like, overlays its values on the story, and I think I think in a way that Baz Luhrmann's spin on it is a pre-recession spin, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So anyway.
Maybe. I don't know what I think about that. Because, I don't know, I read it as like, it was cast with judgment.
Yeah, but it's about, it's the judgment of, you know, old money, like, old money crushes new money, like, old social arrangements and structures, and the capacity to hold on to the perception of class and power, and everybody's obsession with that, like, has these casualties. It has those casualties in both, like, but the casualties are on the lower class. In the figure of the run-over lady and Gatsby himself, sort of. I don't know. It just felt pre-recession to me. I felt like if it was post-recession, it would say more about Gatsby's role as a banker, and maybe like shift it to the crash or something, or Gatsby's role as a bootlegger and somebody manipulating stocks and bonds or something like that.
Yeah. In the book, that was just alluded to, because I think like the main focus was on this tragic love story.
Yeah.
Which I'm actually glad for. I think that makes it a better story.
I mean, that's all it is.
I mean, we can have the context. The context is important, you
right.
know? It colors everything.
Yeah. All right.
But in sum, I think it's worth seeing.
Yeah, it's worth seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a silly movie.
Plus, Leonardo DiCaprio is something, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I don't know. At first I was like, eh, like he, I felt like he was overplaying it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But at the end I was like, yeah, you know, they cast the right person. He's this, like cipher, mm-hmm. you know, and he does all this stuff with his eyes.
Yeah.
You know, he's like dashing in these really nice suits.
Yeah. 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 I mean, you couldn't cast. It'd be hard to find someone else to cast.
It made sense he was Gatsby and Tobey Maguire was Nick Carraway.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't know if I have much else to say about the movie.
Me neither.
It's just kind of a ridiculous movie.
It's fun.
That embraces its own kitschiness.
We're walking so far.
Yeah, well, that's what you gotta do to print out 10 pages of stuff when your printer's broken.
Is this the building?
This is definitely the building.
Okay, good.
All right, that's it. Bye, everybody.
Bye.